That was Waking Atlas by Christopher of the Wolves.
Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. A couple things real quick. Just a reminder, Ramon and I are working class folks, so we are paying for all this out of our own pocket, and we have a donate button on the website. So if you guys want to give us a hand and drop a couple bucks our way, we really appreciate it. Also, we've got a lot of stuff going on the website. We're back up and running, back from USETI, and Ramon's still out and about the world, but he soon shall be home here in a few days. When do you go home, Ramon?
I'm actually leaving when this show airs. I'll be on a plane.
Ah, okay, great. So you'll be home soon. We are recording this on July 5th, 2011.
I'm happy July 4th.
Yes, I hope everybody had a safe and enjoyable and fun holiday. I had an absolutely fantastic time. Spent the day with my daughter, which was wonderful. It's always great to have that off time with family and friends. So anyways, who have we got tonight, Ramon?
We have Sifu Jenny Lam, and for those of you that were at USETI, you know how powerful this woman is. Sifu is a graduate of the
Yes.
prestigious Beijing University of Physical Education, has been a student of Chinese martial arts for 40 years, and she doesn't look a day over 25, with many awards and a teacher of Chinese internal arts since 1975 in China, Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, Canada, and the U.S. She is the founder of Eastern Internal Arts Institute and of the Tasting Dao Center. She was an actor in the first modern mainland Chinese martial arts movie, The Honor of Dong Feng Shi, also called Pride's Deadly Fury, and has been featured on the Discovery Health Channel. She is a Taoist and Buddhist practitioner with a master's degree in religious studies and is working on her PhD in religious studies with an emphasis on Chinese Buddhism. Welcome, Sifu Jenny Lam, to our show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
One of the things we want to start off with actually is at the ESETI conference, you started off with not a prayer, but like a saying.
Namo Amitofo.
Yes.
So we wanted to start off with that. If you can maybe like 2, 3 minutes guide us in a short version of the one you did at ESETI.
Namo Amitofo is the meaning is infinite life, infinite light. It can evoke your own infinite life, infinite light in yourself. So this powerful mantra also is the name of Buddha. So this helps you towards for complete enlightenment. You have that goal in you, that light, that life in you to be merged with bigger and this body. So when I practice, I also use this to lead me towards the full enlightenment and keep myself more focused and to bring your mind to one point concentration. It is very powerful as my practice, and also I notice all my spectrum is their practice as well. So I in my teaching, I like to share this with all people, not just people, all sentient beings who are surround us, who hear this mantra, who hear this infinite life, infinite life light in each of us, know we can be that as well. It helps me greatly on my practice, and I know the power can help or other people on the same path. You don't have to be Buddhist. In the life, infinite light, think about that. As a life itself, those are embraced by that. So I just kind of remind everybody to practice, share my practice with everyone, with this powerful chant, bring everyone's mind into the center of life, center of light. And I notice when I do healing, people through my healing, doing healing work, also very powerful with because I this practice increase my energy, increase the positive, pure heart as a sentient being.
So let's start from the beginning. How did you find yourself getting into these practices, martial arts and the Qigong side of it as well? Was it something that was passed down from your family or?
No. I was accused by a martial arts teacher who think I have the will, I have the body shape, I have the strength to accomplish what I can be. So he want to teach me martial arts. I was very active in school, all kinds of sports and all the dance. So you think my body is fit to do this practice and it can have good accomplishment. So he asked my brother, I'm going to ask if I want to learn. My brother is the one that want to study with this martial arts teacher. But he accepted him. The reason he accepted him is because he wanted him to bring me in there to teach me. So I was 12.
How old were you?
I was 12.
Okay.
12, yeah. So I said, my brother asked me, he said, Shifu, asked me to bring you to there. He wanted to teach martial arts if you like. I said, okay, I just go there to see what martial arts is about. At that time, not many girls doing martial arts. So I went to their class at night. It's just at the neighborhood in dark. Find a space. All the boys there practice. So he introduced me about martial arts, asked all the boys doing demonstration. So asked me if I was interested. I said yes. So then he found me another girl to keep me company. We did practice together. And with 6 months practice, I went to competition and got champion at the city. So he was so excited and just continue doing my martial arts, leading my career to be martial arts teacher, also instructor. But through practice martial arts include external and internal. Internal, for instance, Tai Chi, Xing Yi, Ba Gua. Those are internal martial arts. In naturally stuff external, then you go to internal. So then I started from external to internal doing Tai Chi. And then I noticed martial arts is not that simple. It is much more involved than just physically. You develop your concentration, your strengths, the will, especially your will, your determination, not so easy to give up. And through internal arts, it's not that simple, just soft movement. It's different in the world. It brings you to see your body connected with your mind. And the strengths, in Tai Chi used to say, use 4 ounces strength to move 1,000 pounds. So how do you do with 4 ounces strength to move 1,000 pounds? That's a strength, and that's intelligent, that's technique as well. So I started to open my eyes with internal arms. Notice how grateful is internal arms. Not only, you know, you can do these things, but physically, you strengthen yourself. You're getting well. You're healthier. And from step by step, from internal arms, and notice I'm not just satisfied with the movement, with cooperation, body, mind. There's a spirit. So my teacher at a study bring me to Qigong. So when I get into Qigong and study with all different masters, and they're all from Taoist, from Buddhist. So I noticed there's a religion related. It's not just Qigong for health. It's much deeper. And there's concentration. It's not just martial arts concentration. There are higher quality one-point concentration. And with that strength, with that power, you can move anything. So I start to notice all the power of spiritual world. And through practice, through Taoist, I was trained in the Taoist. Most my Qigong teacher are Taoist. Later on, I encounter with a Qigong teacher who is a Buddhist, who was a monk, a retired monk. So the time I encounter him, he's about like 80 years old. And his knowledge about Buddhism, about the Chinese culture, Confucianism, Taoism, martial arts, Chinese medicine. He has so much knowledge about all of them. I was so fascinated by his knowledge. He teaches at the university, the seminars the university invite him, teach all those graduate students and the professors. When I went there, hear his talk, it's completely different than all other teacher I had. So I decided, I want to further study on this path. So I invite him to come to my home to teach me. And that was a big shifting for me to encounter with Buddhism.
And how long ago was this happen?
Oh, how long ago? Eighties, 1980s, yeah. And I always have that kind of a determination, strength for certain something. If I was a young age, I was looking for books, try to read some Taoist classic books. But even at bookstore, they are based. How come so young age and you're a girl? You were interested in those kind of things. Why is that? I don't know. I'm just so attracted to the practice. And when I encountered this teacher, I even more. I was, that time I was in a university. So I sent him all my savings. I sent him a letter. This is all money I have. I have 15 yuan left in town. I have a half month to do next paycheck as a university teacher. And that at that time, 15 yuan is about $2. So I said, everything I have, my savings, I said, this is all money I have. I would like to invite you to come to my home, teach me. When he got the letter, got my money, he was so touched. He said, I never see somebody with such pure heart spend money learning and you know, was studying a lot of my, especially if he's a girl, normally he would think all his students he disciples, all men. Now this is young women, and he was hard. And he sent me letters that welcome. So later on, his students came, he's from different provinces, and come to see me. And when he, I don't even know what he would teach me. I just hear his knowledge, his presentation at a seminar. I just want to study with him. I know this person has full of knowledge. I don't even know who he is exactly, his background. I have no idea. But then when he come to teach me, I sort of open my eyes. The first thing, he has his course. He lists everything, the Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, and his medicine, martial arts. And another thing, Art of a War, the classic, the book.
Yes.
So he, well, he teach me this, and first thing he taught me is posture. And that touched me deeply. That's the first time I learned Buddhism. And I do refugee and do all kind of things he asked me to do, and explain, teach me about this sutra. And I want to remember the sutra, practice the sutra. And from then on, I see, because he teach me all different things, Taoism, Confucianism. So I start to see the greatest things in Buddhism is great compassion and wisdom. And that evoked me to more later on my life more devoted into Buddhist practice.
Now, in your opinion, what exactly is, because a lot of people, they'll listen, okay, this is my religious belief, or I'm studying this religious belief, and they get all sorts of ideas of what it is. In your opinion, what is Buddhism?
For me, it's not just religious belief. We have so many religions, major religion in the world. Everybody has their beliefs. But the Buddhism showed me a way towards self-awakening. It's not some God come to save you. Show you a way you can be awakened by your own effort. Of course, there's guidance. But we are capable of it. And all my practice, back to my martial arts, or this practice of Qigong and healing, power, all those, it showed me just phenomenal. Only the path toward self fully awakening. That is most important for me as a human being, as in this life, a choice. I can make a choice, not in the realm, cannot make choice. In this life, I can make a choice. I'm aware of choice, where the difference to go, where to go. So that makes me feel the difference. I studied religious studies, the old religion, not saying I'm an expert of any, but at least I have been introduced to all religions, to know their practice, know the religion about. This path is bringing Like I live my life for that, for the direction towards self fully awakening. So I do not consider this as a common religion fact.
I see Buddhism as probably the closest aligned quote unquote religion to my own personal beliefs, as far as everything is within self and all the answers can be found within self. So, and I'm seeing that more and more people are calling it New Age stuff, but I'm seeing it more and more in all the different philosophies that are coming out now, where it is most important to heal the self first, and then the rest of it all takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm. I find that in the martial arts, especially with the Qigong, it's just it really helps break down the belief system of, especially the belief of I can't, or I shouldn't, or I can't, kind of belief system. Especially seeing someone as yourself, 40 years of studying this martial art, and just if you ever have a chance to be around Sifu Jenny Lam, you can feel your presence, and me and Tom are very sure that it's because of your presence that you, something about your presence, you help people see auras, and that's just the little bit that I got. So I can imagine the students that study with you.
You know, as for martial artists, even now, I'm not practiced as I used to be, you know, focused on martial artists. But I noticed myself, my skills, except that, you know, the strings, my skills is better because understanding better, your inner outer merging better. You know, for the strength, of course, the young age, you cannot run as fast as the young age. Compare yourself. That's nature of our body decays. But everything I studied before, I noticed I'm beyond the knowledge I have. The reason I feel I'm beyond even my own tradition, ego practice, I'm beyond that. The reason is strengthened by this self awakening. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel aware, because lots of people feedback to me about in the class, or come to the seminar, come to listen to the Dharma talk, or come to lecture, they notice the changing. They're changing, physically changing. They were sick before, hard to get here. As soon as they get here, after class, the finished class, they notice the problem is disappeared. And that brings me a new way to look at myself. So I always encourage people, open up their mind. I like to share the limited knowledge I have on my path. But sometimes I notice it's so difficult to get into people because their mind just so turned outward. What they're looking for is completely different what they're capable of. They think the skill will bring them to some kind of power, but it is not. The training is really come the bottom of the training is your heart. The pure heart perceives everything. Your skills will manifest. It's not your skills important. Your skill, you can have a skill, but it doesn't work. With pure heart, your door is open. The path is open to you. The many things you practice you can completely, you know, come to the point, master yourself. How can I, you know, this is possible. What do I do? When you share the truth, people don't want to hear the truth. They want to complicate it themselves. They think the more complicated, the more advanced. The great truth is most simple. But too simple, people cannot accept.
Right.
And too simple, they cannot do it. Because it's just in the front of you. So that's the issue. Many things we on our path, our practice, that's the real issue. It's we cannot open our heart. When we cannot open our heart, our mind step in. All kind of a judgment, all kind of comparison, all kind of doubts, you know, arising. When those are arising, you are completely blind. All decision you make is wrong. And you try to convince yourself, oh, this is the right path, this is the right person to follow. You try to convince yourself, but when you deep down, you look at yourself, how many years you put yourself into the practice, what are you receiving? Where to get you into? And then you notice you get nowhere. You're still at the same spot to start with. Because you haven't get into the door. You have to open your heart to get into that door. Then you start, then it's truly practice. Before it's not considered any practice. People always say they're practitioner, they're advanced practitioner. I don't even consider myself any advanced than anybody else. But they think that they learn a few, you know, take a couple of seminars, they think they're advanced practitioner. I said, except me, you are advanced practitioner. So we miss the point, just like somebody point moon to you, and you look at the finger. So you miss the point, you miss the direction, and then you complain. I did not get any place because he didn't teach me secret. What is secret? So sometimes you notice, when people are not ready, it's hard to teach because the door is not open. The heart is not open. They were not receiving anything. It's not you won't hold anything, don't want to teach them. It's they are not receiving it. They cannot see. We have six sensations. We have eyes, ears, nose, tongue. We have mind. We have all those, but we are go the wrong direction. We have eye, we cannot see the truth. We have ear, we cannot hear the truth. So a lot of things, it goes wrong. But by our human standard, it's a collective karma. We come to the same world. We have same faculties, same sightings, how far you can see, how well you can understand the truth. So those are important things, but people ignore this, looking for things, how complicated, make themselves complicated. Think about the complicated to get more advanced and get them somewhere. But on the contrary, those only, you know, lead them to the end. Notice you disappointed yourself. Your life is short. Because you haven't got into the door. You don't even have a sense what is the practice, what the meaning of a practitioner. That one day some people sent me email about a practitioner. I said, in Chinese, practitioner, we call it 修行人. Practice is 修行. The meaning 修行 is correcting your wrong action. The person who does this practice is a practitioner. And then if we look at ourselves, how much do we correct our own wrongdoing? We don't look at it that way. We look at how many skills, how many classes, how many teachers I followed, how many seminars I took.
you know, just collect the teachers, not collect the true teaching. So missing the point. That's missing the point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I have noticed, and even more so just last week at that conference, that there are more and more people that are opening themselves to the truth and having growth experiences. I had a very significant one myself. In the past, I'd been able to kind of shift my focus out and be able to see a real faint outline of aura. But during the opening ceremonies at that conference, when all the speakers were sitting up on stage, and after the meditation that was done there, when I opened my eyes, I was able to see, the best way to describe it is a light being standing behind all the speakers up on the stage. And I was a little bit in shock of myself being able to see this, but it was such a blissful experience. And now I've been able to continue to see the auras much easier now. But the point of this is that I'm not the only one that talked about or experienced these same things at that conference. And I had many people remark to me that your aura was just like a blazing fire up there, and that it was, what'd you say, Ramon? It was kind of shaped up to a point on top. It was just amazing.
It was a very oval in shape, and at one point, I felt like it blended in with Dr. Brooks' aura.
Yeah.
Because both their auras were it was just like blending in.
So, well, my point is that I am seeing and sensing more and more people that are actually opening themselves and truly seeking the true path. Have you noted this also?
There are some. More people start aware, maybe aware what they're doing before, maybe questioning them. Because maybe before they're more attached outside masters, you know, teachers, all kind of those, especially in the West, so many people in the spiritual path. But what I can see, so many people as a spiritual shopper.
Right.
Really, you know, like go to the supermarket, go to this spiritual stores, shop one after another, one teacher after another, and feel all excited. But what excited is not important. Can you want something can change your life indefinitely, not apparently for that moment. You want to change your life definitely towards positive directions. It's really action. But thinking about action, thinking about, oh, maybe lots of things going on, maybe not right, because the world, right now, look at the world, so much disasters come so frequently. How many people died each those disasters? Big numbers now. So those start waking people up to look at ourselves. When you see that, what I get you definitely is you notice yourself, I'm no longer a person with same eyes to see things. You see from different perspective. You start getting closer to the truth and starting to know your path. But speak clearly and study more, so you notice you're happier. If you are practicing, do all the practice, no matter what you do, it does not lead you to happiness, does not lead you to healthier. Your practice basically meaningless, useless. Not benefiting. You practice, spend time with, you got benefits from it. So it doesn't matter what technique you use. to benefit in long run, not in the one class, in the long run.
Right.
And you look at yourself, are you happier? Your relationship with your family, friends, are they feel happy to be around you? Or they're angry with you. Every time they see you, they want to get away as fast as they can. So that's not helpful. And look at yourself. Are they declining? Are they improving? So there are a lot of signs. People don't know where to look. Sometimes it's not blindness. You have to move this blindness. Blind belief. You've got a reality check. See if your practice is doing good to you. Or other things come around. As I mentioned, five lessons. It will come along. If you not, you probably should think about a different direction. Rethink about math. Think about what you want. But also, a lot of people don't know what they want. That's a problem. You have a goal. You follow the goal. If you go too small, you're so easy to give up. If you go so big, you have that determination, devotion, you will get there.
No, I wanted to ask you, what is Yigong?
Yigong is esoteric Taoist practice. Yi means mind. Gong is method, technique. So you can see from the name, it's mind training. It's totally mind training. So if you practice Yigong, that's nothing about mind training. You miss the point. You lost the essence. Of course, your practice will bring lots of blessing feelings, so happy, so joyful. But that's not your goal. That's not really your practice. Your practice is developing your awareness. So the happiness, the joyful feelings at that moment, just phenomenal. The phenomena comes, if you take that phenomena as a goal, then you miss the point. Because phenomena comes and goes. You cannot hold it. How long you practice? If you practice one hour a day, you're a very good, dedicated person. If you do it daily. But even that, if you're joyful only in 1 hour, limited 1 hour, 23 hours compare one, won't help you much. So in the mind training, the Yigong training is 24/7, all the time. Not only when you sit down chair, you don't practice and it does mind training. You bring that practice, that's just on the chair, that moment, that time of practice, it helps you have a experience to focus in what happened to your body. What happened to your mind? Now, you're not disrupted by any upcoming daily life issues. But this practice is through this time, training give you little bit of power. Give you the power you can carry on for your daily life. So then your rest practice, you will pay attention to your daily life. As the same as you pay attention to your movement. Most of the time, we're living 24 hours, our mind is scattered everywhere. Don't even notice what you're thinking. If you write down, whole time you're thinking, you can see how much you think a day for 24 hours. So very limited, you don't remember. Your mind busy all the time,
but you cannot not even remember. You don't even know what you're thinking. So if you bring your mind that from the training to your daily life, you start aware. What are you doing? You notice your action. Not just action, you notice your thoughts, when the thoughts are rising. Lead the action. That's the training of ego.
Mindfulness.
Yes.
Now, how, for yourself, how sensitive is your awareness?
How sensitive I wear is, use what measurement? You tell me what measurement you are using.
Yeah.
For example, let's say you're walking and someone's coming behind you. Can you feel their intentions?
The sensitive, they have different directions. In some way, I'm worst. Why I say I'm worst? I'm so focused my direction. I'm so focused my inner being, the mind, the thoughts arising, the encounters. Sometimes, for sense as a sensitivity, maybe something is a. Past life practice result of the sensitivity. But for me, my physical sensor in some way is very, very strong. Even I read your email, I can know about you. I see the person, I know this person. It's not a try to attack him or anything. I just have just like a look mirror, reflect myself without mind processing, thinking what it is, just instant knowing. But on the other hand, I probably the worst person, because something else on the side, I walk over all the time, I do not even know what house is that. My seeing, my sensing is completely different than normal people to their seeing. So you turn like 20 directions. You tune yourself towards different directions. That's why you see, your sensor, your seeing are different than normal people. Sometimes people with sickness, they come to me, they talk to me, right away I sense their the issues, because I, in my body, in the same place, have same pain what they have. But for me, it's phenomenal. It's not sickness to me. I feel what they feel.
Because it in my own personal practice, I had a situation like maybe almost 1 year ago where I had left my phone on the table of a coffee shop, and somebody went behind me to tap me, and I turned around and I got scared, and I turned around and threw a punch at them. And then I realized that he was just tapping me on the shoulder to let me know that I forgot my phone. So I knew that I had to change something there, because that's not what I wanted my practice to be. Of course, if someone's trying to attack you, you have to defend yourself. But if someone's trying to give you back your phone, you shouldn't attack them.
Yes. And then what I want to point out, this is insecure. Because you're insecure, so people attack you, you feel it's a common attack.
Yeah.
If you... your mind not will not think about why you want to think about people, you know, tapping you as something, you know, wrong in intention. If you have no thoughts, anybody trying to harm you. You will not even have that thought. You were not so defensive, so rigid. So that is mind training. So when you don't have the thoughts to harm anyone, you have nothing to afraid of, afraid that anybody will after you. There's nothing to afraid of. So you, in that point, you have to open up yourself. Gradually, and then you notice you have more friends than enemy. And then you don't have any enemy. Why, you know, even we caught Gui Qiao Men, the ghost knock your door at midnight. So you won't afraid anybody. See, you do not do any harm to others. You will not afraid anyone come after you for revenge. So then you watch yourself, watch your mind, watch your action. You gradually improve yourself with that positive thoughts all the time. You start more relaxed. Next time something similar happens, not even, you know, nervous.
That's part of...
Just think about different ways. Everything is mind training. Mind training is different way, training your mind. How you perceive the world.
And that's part of creating our own reality. Once our mind is in that state of, in this instance, of nonviolence or no fear, then the divine or the universe will not ever bring that situation into your life.
It is true. It is. Just think about, you know, most of us think about how we're living in this world. Actually, the world is in you. You, your consciousness create this world.
But that's also shouldn't be confused with being naive, for example. Because I see some people that would mistake with what you're saying with being naive. So they would be very naive and ignore certain things as seen as the same as what you're saying.
It's not naive. Naive is because we don't understand. When you truly understand, there's no naive. Now, everything has consequences. We, most time, we ignore the consequences. We don't take consequences. We reject the consequences. So everything has consequences, cause effect. That's natural. When you ignore that, you will think anything naive. When you face the consequences, you know everything you do. Before you make action, you notice there's consequences you're going to take it. Lot of things you will notice, you will not make that action. People, why people regret? Because when they come to consequences, they see something, the result is not what they expected. They're unhappy with that. They start to see, oh, if I know, I won't do that. But if our mind at the beginning know everything has consequences, whatever choice you do, you make. Life is making choice. You're living at making a choice. You have to see, you have to look at long run. Do not look at just moment. Even moment, even you ignore past life, future life, even in the moment, you can see the result, what you making today, what come, the results come short term, you can see yourself. As a practitioner, you do a practice, you notice through your practice, if plant right seeds, good deeds, the fruits come, you can see this life. It's sweet, juicy,
yep.
It's tasty. So those things we can see ourselves.
Yeah. So Tom, how are we doing with time for the first hour?
Well, we've got about 5 minutes before we need to wrap up this first hour. So, Jenny, one more question on the Qigong. How long has Qigong been around?
Yigong.
When was it developed?
It's 1,860 years old.
Wow.
That's what I was told.
And
so it's been a long time, but always, because as esoteric practice is not in public. This is become public. It's an accident. This not in China, this practice, because it's not in public.
Right. Is there any certain or specific master who is credited with developing this practice?
Of course, this, you know, whole lineage, they can pass them down. Who created from beginning is credited, and also the master who passing down have to keep adding knowledge, keep adding knowing, keep adding from each teacher have their own individual result of experience, because nobody is the same, everyone is different.
Right.
But technique, even technique are same, with different way to teaching result are different as well.
So Jenny, I know you have some DVDs that show the practice.
Yes, I do.
Where can people find, or if they want to contact you for healing or something?
In my website, easteringinternalarts.com, at a store, I have listing my DVDs. For instance, the Yigong is in the Qigong for Self-Healing Series 1. That DVD not only include the Yigong Level 1, but also several different Qigong practice. And I also have Tai Chi, and the Liu He Ba Fa and Sword. A practice DVD, and I also have had a Qigong audio CD for guide people to practice relaxation Qigong. You can order online. Also, if people for healing, I'm doing online service as well, because lots of people from different country, different area. Difficult to travel, to be present. I also doing online consultation for healing.
You
can send me email. Email, yeah. I have on my website. I have a contact. You can send me from my website to contact me about your. If you need healing, you need to tell me all details about your illness. Most for me to treat people, I treat people which. They cannot helped by modern medical science, so they come to me. If you can treat for that, then you can go to hospital. You don't need me. But also, I especially want to say is some people in the entity issues, like spirits in them, or house, the ghost haunted house, those kind of spirits issues, like. I'm capable to remove them. And those you cannot do with, you know, hospital.
Right. Well, we want to...
Many different situations. I do that work to help people.
We want to get into that.
Yeah.
Add a bit into the next hour here in the archive section.
Yeah, I was saving that for the second hour.
Yeah.
So once again, it's easterninternalarts.com?
Arts.com, easterninternalarts.com, yes.
And you can also click on her picture on the main page of our website, which is www.thehundredthmonkey.com. Tom, anything else before we go?
There'll be a link on the BBS site too, in the archives there. Well, before we go, I want to thank Jenny for this first hour here on BBS, and I want to thank all you BBS listeners for joining us. And hang around for Brooks Agnew, which is coming up next, and then you can pop over to the archives and check out the second hour with Jenny Lamb. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and we love you guys, and we will talk to you next week.
Good night.